Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You know, I would like to begin our message by first saying Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Now, you know, I don't know why, but it seems, you know, that when Mother's Day come around each year, you know, I can't let it pass, you know, without preaching or teaching a message on it. You know, I'll more likely, y'all, let Father's Day pass by. I mean, without a message specifically for fathers. I mean, which really don't make a lot of sense. I mean, you all, me being a father myself. So, you know, I have a whole lot more to say to fathers than I do mothers. So maybe, y'all, the reason that I tend to do something special for Mother's Day is because, y'all, I was raised by a single mother myself. And y'all, mothers, you know, I believe, y'all, they are some of the most underappreciated people in the world. On Mother's Day, you know, I like to remind everyone to be good to their mother and to appreciate them more. But today's message, y'all, it's not all about how to be good to your mother. Your today's message, y'all, is about a mother who had to make some hard choices for the welfare of her son. You're being a mother or a father, you know, it's not for the faint at heart. I mean, y'all, it requires some tough decisions, you know, that are risky and heart-wrenching. Decisions that requires faith. Now, y'all would like for us to reflect, y'all, on a story of a woman who was mentioned just a few times in Scripture. Now, y'all, yet despite her low profile, y'all, she provides a beautifully drawn portrait of a mother with faith. Y'all, she brings to mind for me my mama. In fact, y'all, she even made it to the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11:23. Y'all, her name, according to Numbers 26:59, was Jehoshabed. Y'all, she was Moses' mother. Now, y'all, at this time, y'all, let us read our passage for the evening. Now, our passage this evening will be coming from Exodus, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Again, Exodus, the second chapter, verse 1 through 10, and it reads, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levi woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. And she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is a Hebrew child's baby,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother." Verse 9. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." You are the nation of Israel. You know, they had just moved into Egypt and had been there for about 400 years. You know, they grew and prospered there. But before long, you know, they became a threat to the reigning Pharaoh. So Pharaoh, he forced them into slavery. You know, by the sweat of their brows, your city like Pittman and Rennes, you know, they were built. You know, he hoped to break their backs. But you know, they continued to grow and prosper. So you know, he turned up the heat a little more. He commanded the Hebrew midwives to murder the newborn sons of Hebrew women who were in childbirth. You know, when he discovered, y'all, that they couldn't rely on the midwives because, y'all, they feared God more than they feared him. Well, he tried another approach. He told the people, y'all, to stay on the outlook for Hebrew babies. And if they saw one, y'all, they would have thrown it into the Nile and watch it drown. It was during this time of terror, y'all, that Jehoshabed became pregnant with her third child. Now, y'all, she didn't have to worry, y'all, about her older two, Aaron and Miriam. But, y'all, the child in her womb, I mean, it would be fair game for any patriotic Egyptian in a bad mood. Y'all, can we imagine living in such fear? You know, when I think of times in which Jehoshabed was called to be a mother, you know, I think of some mothers, y'all. I mean, special shout out, y'all, to those mothers, y'all, of the baby boomers. Oh, yes, they were iconic. But specifically, y'all, I think of mothers, y'all, in parts of Africa who face, y'all, the very real prospect of having their son, y'all, taken from their arms and trained to be child soldiers. Yo, these are challenging times to be a mother in our world today. Yo, although no one threatens to kill or steal our babies in America, yo, there are forces, y'all, that threatens to drown our children. Yo, our kids, y'all, they may drown, y'all, in a river of violence and corruption that is pouring out of our TV sets every day. Yo, they can drown, y'all, in a sea of confusion as the lines between right and wrong becomes blurred each day. You know, they become drowned in competitive culture, y'all, that rewards performance above character. You know, every conscientious parent knows how dangerous it is to grow up in our world. You're in the dangerous world in which she found herself. You know, Jehoshabed, she stands out because she did what she could to save her child. And then when she could do no more, you know, she depended totally upon the faithfulness of God. You know, she was the model of faith. First of all, you know, Jehoshabed, you know, her faith was courageous. You know, listen to what the writer of Hebrews say about Jehoshabed. It says, by faith, Moses' parent hid Moses for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Exodus 2:2. You know, though the king said that all of the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown into the Nile, you know, Jehoshabed and her husband, you know, they disobeyed the king and they hid Moses for 3 months. You know, when my daughters were born back in the day, you know, my wife and I, you know, we were 25 years old. You know, one night, one of the twins, y'all, had gotten an earache. I mean, y'all, we tried everything. I'm talking about making sure the bottles were warm, making sure the diapers were clean, the pacifier, googie googie, everything. I mean, y'all, we didn't know quite what to do with our baby. I remember, y'all, those first few months because of that excruciating earache. I mean, y'all, we couldn't have hit her if we tried. I mean, she just made too much noise. But, y'all, somehow, Jehoshabed, y'all, she succeeded in hiding Moses. Y'all, we often think of faith, y'all, as passive. I mean, y'all, the whole idea of let go and let God. But, y'all, real faith, y'all, it's an active thing. Y'all, faith, it sometimes causes us to do risky things. Y'all, I think of mothers, y'all, who have been unable to conceive, but have seen, y'all, an opportunity to adopt children who might otherwise have spent their lives in the Children Protective Services. So, y'all, that's a courageous act of faith. Y'all, I think of mothers, y'all, who are married, y'all, to unbelieving husbands, but sometimes, y'all, defy those husbands in order to expose their children to the truth of God's word. Y'all, I think of mothers, y'all, who stand up, y'all, to their teenage son or teenage daughter saying no to something, y'all, when all the other mothers say yes. Y'all, I think of mothers, y'all, who give up a lucrative career so they can stay home with their children when everyone around them says, that's crazy. Y'all, what gives these mothers the courage to act in such a way is that, y'all, they fear God more than they fear man. And, y'all, they want to please God more than they want to please friends, children, and even husbands. And they trust God as they are obedient to what he's calling them to do. And in the face of threatening circumstances, God, he will take care of them and their children. I'm an eyewitness. Believe me, I know. Jehoshabed, she also had a sensible faith. After 3 months of hiding her baby, she saw the handwriting on the wall. She made a little wicker basket, covered it with tar, and pitched it to make it float. And she put it in the reeds on the banks of the Nile. Moses, he was placed in a basket. Not a very safe environment. The argument is at the mercy of the environment. The Nile was known for crocodiles. At 3 months old, Moses, he was completely helpless in a river filled with crocodiles. But I want us to notice that Jehoshabed, she was not careless about this. She was sensible. I mean, she didn't send Moses floating down the river. She placed him among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. This was a place, where women would congregate. I mean, it was like placing a baby on the steps of a hospital today. And she also, didn't just put the brother in the Nile and then just wave goodbye. Said, "Have a nice day, Moses. Maybe we'll see you sometime." No, she had Moses' older sister to stand at a distance to find out what happened to him. If Jehoshabed herself had stood by the reeds, watching and waiting, I mean, it would have been obvious who she was. But Moses' sister, she made a good spy. When Moses was discovered in the Nile, his sister offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse him, and the plan fell in place. You see, Jehoshabed, she was clever. She was sensible in her planning. Part of being sensible is knowing how to improvise on the spot. Consider the story of a woman I met. At the beginning of her daughter's wedding ceremony, she was to light one of the candles. Not realizing the potential hazard, when she got too close, and she set her acrylic nails on fire. Trying not to ruin her daughter's big day, she calmly lit the candle from her flaming nail. And then like a gunslinger with his six shooter, blew it out. Certainly, her nails, were the talk of the reception. That's a funny story, of a mother's sensibility. But sometimes, the sensibility required of a mother, it is far more consequential. There are mothers, who have chosen to give up their child for adoption simply because, it is the best thing for that child. For some women, that's a decision that requires enormous faith and foresight and fierce love. I also think of mothers, who would love to be stay-at-home moms, but the family finances won't allow it. I mean, they find ways to make it work that are best for their kids. They find a way, to work from home. Or they have, a godly aunt or grandmother provide child care. Or they stagger their work schedules with their husbands so that one parent is always there for the children. Jehoshabed's courage, sensible faith, it will soon be rewarded by God. As Moses floated along the banks of the Nile, the daughter of Pharaoh arrived with her maidens. The text says, that she saw the basket and, of course, had it brought to her. She opened it and she saw the child crying. She had pity on him because he was a Hebrew and could just as well be dead. It was a standard procedure, for wealthy women to hire a wet nurse to feed a child until it was weaned. And of course, the wet nurse, would be the legal guardian during that particular year that they were nursing the baby. So at just the right time, Moses' sister moved in, and she made an offer to help fulfill the custom. She then y'all went to find Jehoshabed, who was not your only raising her child herself, but y'all, she was now paid for the process. Y'all, what do we say as Christians? But God. Y'all, so surely, y'all, we see that God's hand is all over this. I mean, y'all, this mother, y'all, she did what she could. I mean, but she couldn't have did it all on her own. Your Pharaoh's own chosen instrument of death, it was the Nile River. But it became your the instrument which Moses was saved. I mean, his mother, your she even followed Pharaoh's orders in placing him in that river. A member of Pharaoh's own household came to the river, your at just the right time and rescued the future deliverer of Israel, who also, y'all, seemed to know just when to cry. Y'all, the baby was reunited with his mother, who was then able, y'all, to raise the child during his most formative years, teaching him about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Jehoshabed, y'all, released him to Pharaoh's daughter. After he was weaned, Moses spent his youth in Pharaoh's court, where he learned law, rhetoric, mathematics, hieroglyphics, and even the art of war, Acts 7:22. And when Moses led 2 million people, y'all, through a desert, putting all of these disciplines to work, y'all, did you all notice, y'all, that God is not even mentioned in this passage at all? Still, y'all, we know that he's at work. Y'all, there are things, y'all, that mothers do. Ultimately, y'all, they have to leave it in God's hands. Y'all, that's the hardest thing. I mean, isn't it? I'm talking about y'all letting go. Your a mother's love, y'all, it never changes. With your parenthood, y'all, that's a consistent process of letting go. I'm talking about letting your child make mistakes. Letting your teenager learn some things the hard way. Letting your adult child follow God's call, even if it means he or she will live a 1,000 miles away. Mothers, take heart. God is going to use your courageous, sensible faith to accomplish his purposes. Yes, he's working behind the scene to accomplish his purpose in your children's lives. And he will use you. But it's not all up to you, mama. You know, one of the interesting things about this passage is the prominent role, you know, that women with motherly instinct play in the story. You know, Jehoshabed. Yo, she saw that Moses was beautiful. Yo, Pharaoh's daughter. Yo, she saw the basket. Yo, she saw Moses crying. And she had pity on him. Yo, Moses' sister. Yo, she stood in the wings to know or to notice, y'all, what would happen and when to act. Yo, all of this, y'all, it foreshadows what God would soon do for his people. Later in chapter 2. You know, it is God, you know, who looks upon his people who are suffering. You know, we're told in verse 25 that God saw, same word, you know, God saw the sons of Israel and God took notice. He chastened them to move forward to save his people. And it was God's motherly instinct, you know, to see us as worthy of delivering from our utterly helpless state through the death, burial, and resurrection of his own son. You know, someone once turned to a full-time mom and they said, "And what is it that you say you do, my dear?" You know, she responded and said, "I am socializing 2 homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." Yo, she then turned and asked him, she said, "And what is it that you say you do, sir?" Mothers, your ultimate purpose, it is to foster a courageous, sensible faith that will instill in your children a knowledge of a faith and a love for this God who sees and knows your child's deepest needs for salvation and has decisively moved to accomplish it through the work of Jesus. But don't worry, mothers. It's not all up to you. Your God, our God, He is partnering with you today, tomorrow, and for every day thereafter. So we say to you once again, Happy Mother's Day. And may God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.